Howdy fans, this is Andrew Lister. What you're about to hear is our fan mail episode. I want to thank both our voice actors and the fans that sent us questions for this episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Just a quick note about the quality. The quality is not up to 100%. What we had to do was take the audio from the Google Hangout. If you're interested in actually watching the video, which is completely unedited, we will have a link in the show notes. Don't forget our contest ends on November 30th. We're looking for short fiction. We've gotten a few entries already, but we're looking for more. What we're planning on is producing every single entry we get and then let you, the fans, choose the winner. All right, let's get to the episode. But first, well, you know what to expect.
Welcome to the Shadow Vane Podcast. Tonight, our fan Q&A episode.
Welcome. Shall we introduce ourselves? Who wants to start?
I'll start right here. I am Curtis Jackson. I am the most incredible and esteemed Elijah Watson on the Progenics podcast, the Shadow Vane podcast, and I am calling you from Alaska, so I apologize if the audio quality is a little bit substandard.
All right. Next, who's next?
I guess I'll go. This is Brian Nash. I'm in Iowa, and I voice Bellatrix.
There's that deep voice. All right. And finally, we have...
Hey, I'm Emily. I'm currently in Pennsylvania, and I play Miss Hartman.
Nice. So we have three of our protagonists, our main characters here. We're just missing our
actual... I wouldn't say protagonist.
Maybe not protagonist. We have three... We really have our three antagonists, honestly. This is going to be really an evil episode. unfortunately, Adam was here, but the three of you shot him and then started feasting on his corpse. So, you know, it was. You gotta do what you gotta do. Hey, oh, by the way, my name's Andrew Lister, and I am the writer creator of this crazy thing. So, welcome everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We've got some questions from fans that we've collected over the last several weeks here. And some we came up with on our own. So how about we just jump right in, shall we? How about we start with the first question? Tell us, tell the fans a little bit about maybe yourself or how or why you wanted to get into this thing, this voice acting thing. Like, why voice acting? What do you find interesting or enjoyable about it?
I'll start. I think I've always enjoyed acting and playing characters since I was very little. And I think now being the most recent father of a one-month-old, I realized that it's very much in my family genes. Like, we very rarely talk in our own voice a lot of the time when we interact with each other. There's always characters that are coming out. I think we're a long line of storytellers. So I think that's where it comes from the most, is the fact that we love to tell stories, and a big component of telling those stories is establishing a character.
All right, very cool.
Well, I've done a lot of drama in my past and a lot of music. And I also have taught public speaking. And when I was in Louisville originally when we started this podcast, and I was working at a job that didn't have, well, it was really dramatic, but not in the good way. It had lots of drama. And I really needed some kind of an outlet, but I didn't have time for community theater. And so I saw a little advertisement, Voice Actors Wanted, and I said, well, that can't be too different from podcasting mixed with acting, so I think I can do that.
Right. That's and you've all done fantastic, so it's worked out. And I like the fact that you say Louisville too. You could definitely tell you're from that area.
I'm not. I'm from Colorado. People would make fun of me if I didn't pronounce it like that, so now I pronounce it Louisville.
You get one of us, gotta conform. What about you, Nash? What brings you into voice acting?
I have a background in music and community theater long, long ago. I'm kind of like Kurt in that I love being a storyteller. Currently most of my storytelling and acting, I guess, comes in the form of reading stories at bedtime. I just finished another Harry Potter book, and apparently I do a pretty passable Hagrid.
Nice.
As far as voice acting, I think the biggest pro to voice acting rather than stage acting or in front of people is I don't have to wear pants.
Are you wearing pants currently? You know what? Never mind. I don't want to know.
Don't make him stand up.
There's some things you can't unsee.
That is so true. Next question. So being completely honest, I want you to be 100% honest. What are your thoughts or what do you think about your character? And what were your motivations for playing your character the way that you did?
Okay. I thought he was a great character. He was really, really well written. And I thought that his motivations were everything you want a villain to be. I mean, I think that they're pretty clear from the get-go where he's coming from. I don't think it's ever a surprise when Elijah Watson does something. You can see that he's motivated by vain pride and he's a megalomaniac. Mm-hmm. But he's brilliant. So that, when I started to think about a voice for him, I definitely thought about someone that would take the time to enunciate all of his words, because all of his words were very important. Listen to what I have to say. So I think the more that I read how you had written him, I saw him as someone that was very deliberate and very calculating. A lot of fun to read.
Yeah, no, there were several people that tried out for the Elijah role, and I think yours really struck me as the most interesting. And I think that was a big part of it, just the kind of the slowed down speech pattern really kind of made him kind of stand out as a character. What about you, Nash? You're playing an immortal, like, evil being that is just like... is just manipulating people left and right. What are your thoughts on that character, and how did you come up with your voice for Bellatrix?
Bellatrix, very definitely, that was pretty much it. He is ancient. He is above all these little details of mortal life. He doesn't care about humanity. He doesn't care about people. He is extremely selfish and very, very vain, arrogant, and very fun. It was very, very fun role to play.
Yeah, for the fans, most of the actors' audio comes in because people live all over the place, as we've just established. You know, we've got people in Pennsylvania, Alaska, all over the place. And when the audio comes in, you know, I have to just kind of take what they've done and give some suggestions if we need to kind of fix anything. But with Nash is the only actor who comes to my house to record his lines. So we get to sit down in my kitchen, and I get to play that role of director and just listen to him. And I don't have to do much usually. Usually it's Nash going, I changed some lines here. I hope you don't mind. This sounds so much better. And I'm like, great, go for it. I want that. It's just fun to hear him warm up the voice and kind of get into that deep. I can't even do it. I no one can do that voice.
Well, how much reverb gets put on his voice?
A good amount of reverb. I mean, not a whole lot, I guess, but enough to kind of give it that sort of echoing sort of effect. Like you could hear it in. Like he doesn't really speak out loud. Right. You know, he's speaking in people's minds. So you know, I tried to just kind of amplify and kind of give it that kind of booming effect. You know, so when Jeremiah is just kind of going about his business, and all of a sudden you hear, Jeremiah, and he's just like, no. Something that's unsettling is kind of the effect I want to go for when I add that kind of reverb. And I deepen the voice a little bit, but with Nash, I don't have to a whole lot. And Emily, what about you? What are your thoughts on Miss Hartman as a character, and how did you kind of go about developing her as a character?
Well, at first I was really attracted to her because of the duality of her personality. Mm-hmm. In the fact that I try to do the exact opposite. I have worked really hard in my life to be a consistent person. Even I talk about, you know, I wear different hats you might speak a little bit differently to your friends than to your grandparents, but I've tried really, really hard to be the same person. And I liked the idea of somebody who doesn't have sort of any of that emotional slash maybe moral baggage.
Yeah, I don't think she has much in the way of morals at all.
Yeah, she's just sort of this split person where she feels like she can manipulate how people see her, especially as somebody who taught speech. That was a lot of what we talked about, was how you're viewed by people is not how you're viewing yourself.
Right.
And you have to figure out sort of how they're viewing you and how you can get your point across best.
Right.
I worked mostly with sort of softer things, not necessarily like PR, but then I started really thinking about, I mean, I know this is in the future, but I started looking around. I was in an office environment with a lot of women who were maybe 20 years older than me, who really had very sort of thick office personas, mm-hmm. and were often in areas that were dominated by men. And they often did have sort of that, not necessarily to Yvette Hartman sort of end, they often did have that kind of shell, like you really couldn't get to know them unless you got to know them. And yeah, that was not because they were, you know, mean or cruel. It was survival when they were, mm-hmm. you know, beginning in their careers. And as someone who was starting out in mine, I saw that, and I at first was really intimidated. There was particularly one, I won't tell you who because I don't want to shame her because I really like her, but there was particularly one when I started that I was just, you know, she was so sort of icy and frigid, and I was so scared of her, and it turned out she was just very businessy, mm-hmm. but I hadn't been around a lot of sort of really straightforward businessy people, and so there's a lot of different things I've done, but mostly I've tried to draw on just whatever raw emotion I was feeling, mm-hmm. and fuel it.
Right. Yeah. No, I think even if you look at that, especially if you look at like the very first episode, and you have this, you know, she's got so many lines, like she's basically the entire episode, and she's got that face of just, you know, oh, we're here to protect the world, and right. we're gonna save everyone, and thank God we've got this cure for influenza. And then you have that moment where you just hear the clicking heels, and she gets into the car and she lights up the cigarette, which I always, mm-hmm. I love that, because, you know, she's such a hypocrite. Here she is trying to save people's lives, but here she is smoking, right?
Right.
Like, she doesn't give a shit. Like, she could probably just come up with a genetic cure to save her lungs or whatever. And she just turns on the bitch. You know, I love it. It's fantastic.
It's a switch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I often when I record them, I don't stop in between. Mm-hmm. I just literally flip everything.
Right.
Cool.
Here's a question from one of our fans, from Bill Little, a good friend of mine, actually. He says, what scares you, and what sub-genres of horror are your favorites? So I guess we can talk about, you know, this is a horror podcast. Are you drawn to horror normally? And if so, what are your inspirations, your favorite kind of aspects of horror?
So I really love Lovecraft. I'm a big mm-hmm. fan of the alien and the strange and kind of the unknown and cosmic horror, because I've been someone that's a science person. I'm a biologist, and I've always been fascinated with the way that life exists on this planet. But there's this realization as a scientist that there is a vastness that we will never, ever comprehend. And it's that extreme reach of blackness and darkness above us that there's this sense of complete alienation that happens. Having said that, that part that I'm fascinated by, the part that I am most terrified by is human-level horror. Mm-hmm. I like, my mother is schizophrenic, and so I think the idea of madness, how that's experienced and insanity, has always been like a really visceral horror for me, mm-hmm. because you just never quite know when you've taken that step off the edge. And so the parts of like with Bellatrix, like talking in someone's head, that's what a schizophrenic experiences, you know? And so there's that thing of growing up with the idea that, well, you know, mental illness can be, you can hear voices. Well, I talk to myself all the time, and I have friends. I mean, people talk to themselves. When does it become not okay anymore?
Right.
So like my go-to, like most terrifying, like visceral horror for me has been things like The Exorcist, where like, you know, it's this possession, this taking over of your consciousness, your will, by this foreign entity. So that's why I love the Bellatrix part, because I think that's like that's my corner touchstone of fear. So.
I think you gave away the ending. The entire time, Bellatrix isn't real. He's just been in Jeremiah's head. I'm just kidding. That's not the ending.
I knew it. I won the office pool.
what about you, Emily? What scares you? What do you find in horror?
I actually don't do horror a lot. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm way more into science fiction, but what I like particularly is suspense, and I think that there's a lot of science fiction that bridges into horror through that suspense. Mm-hmm. And I like a lot of the old horror films where you don't know what's going on, and I even like things like Steven Universe, which is... We could argue whether or not it's sci-fi. I think it is. But what I like about it is that they don't spoon-feed you. You have to figure out the world. And so I like things that don't talk down to me, basically. And so that's one of the things I like about suspense. Mm-hmm. I would say the most I've gotten into horror is actually listening to Cthulhu and Friends podcast.
Nice.
If we can promote other podcasts.
Sure, why not? They'll just owe me one.
Right. I mean, I know the people who do it, or, you know, through just sort of the Geekly Inc. community, so it's not like, it's not my podcast. By the way, my podcast is called She's a Super Geek, sasgeek.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, any point, if you want to plug anything, perfectly fine, so not a big deal.
Shameless plugs.
Shameless plugs, absolutely.
Shameless plugs. Yeah, but one of the things I've tried to do, and I haven't told Andrew about this, because I didn't know if it was the right thing, is I do my best not to read or listen to anything, any scene that I'm not a part of. Because
okay.
I think that that's part of the interest of this story, is that you have all these different parts where you know, sort of the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And of course, that hasn't worked, you know, 100%, because I'm still sort of like also a fan. And so, but I'll be really excited when this is all over to be able to go back and listen to the entire arc.
Yeah,
and
to kind of
put all the
feel.
Pieces together.
Right, absolutely. So I know Nash has stepped away for a second, but I know that Kurt has to leave soon, so we're going to maybe do a couple more questions for you guys, and then I'll maybe talk about a few things about the upcoming stories and whatnot. If you had a chance to kill any character from this series, one that you just really did not like, that you wanted to kill.
I know who I'd kill.
I think I know too. I think we've had discussions about it. Honestly, we'll start with you. Who would you kill if you had an opportunity to off one of these characters?
Well, so this is responding as Elijah. I would get rid of Jeremiah Roberts. That goody two shoes, like do everything for the best bastard. He just, you know, this is science here. Come on,
it's all for science.
Yes, but from a listener standpoint, I would kill my character in a second. My character, he is such a reprehensible, he's not even a human being, he's a monster.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. He is not a good person whatsoever.
No.
Emily, you had a gun, you can kill one of these characters.
So much power.
So much power.
I hate to be this person, but I don't think I would. Like, I have a hard time even imagining myself like that. I'm sorry.
I can't quit you, Yvette.
I do think that if I go sort of outside of myself, I think that a lot of people would want to kill off my character. But I feel like Yvette is sort of an opportunist, and so I would actually go more probably to the source. And I would, and if this is like too spoilery, you know, cover your ears, because I'm not sure if it is. But I would probably kill the founder, because I think that's sort of the root of what's going on.
Interesting.
Which I think is the opposite of what my character.
What your character wants to do. Your character wants the exact opposite. That's interesting. I like that. We'll squeeze in another question here real quick.
Okay.
So that way, before you got to go, Kurt, favorite episode or moment from either just like doing the voice acting or something from the show that you really enjoyed listening to or doing? Give me a favorite moment.
Firing Elijah.
Oh,
there was something so satisfying. lying about that.
Oh, I imagine. That was just the way that he became so sniveling. Funny.
Yeah, I'll grab a hold of that because, like, I definitely loved, you talk about being a duality of characters, like, uh-huh. being this, like, super in charge, like, brilliant scientist, and then have to turn into a sniveling, like, bootlicker. Such a fun thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Oh, my God, that please just gets me every time. That was, like, my favorite thing from the last episode, you're recording of. Could you please follow me? Please.
Please.
Like, oh, my God, that is just so ridiculous. Like, how is Jeremiah falling for that? That is...
Right.
Like, how is he not just like, there's something up with this dude.
Not okay.
This is not good. Oh my gosh. Well, for me, I don't know. If I had to pick a favorite moment, there's a lot, but the one we did where it was kind of off canon, it was the One Truth episode that we did. Like,
mm-hmm.
For some reason I loved writing that episode.
Yeah.
I want to go back and I want to do, this is a little bit of a something for the fans. I want to write a few more episodes around that character. And a spoiler. I have someone who's writing a short arc story right now for the podcast, and in the first episode, he's writing, I can't think of the character's name now from The One Truth.
It's gone, lost it.
Archibald Freeman. Archibald Freeman will be a character, and the character that's introduced in this short story arc will actually be introduced on The One Truth.
Archibald lives. I love it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be back in time. I mean, he's dead.
Oh, well.
I mean, he's dead. But I want to go back in time and, like, do some of these, like, random conspiracy episodes, because that was so much fun to write.
Right. So it's sort of like they're doing with The Walking Dead.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So, do you got to go?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you for joining us.
It's good talking to you. Yeah.
Do you have anything to plug real quick?
Come to Alaska, and I'll take you on a boat ride.
All right, cool. I'll take you up on that someday. I don't know when, but I'll take you up on that someday.
I just started an ecotourism business out of Homer, so.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Nice.
Very cool. All right, well, thanks for joining us, Kurt. We'll keep on without you.
Good day. Take care. Bye.
Yep, take care. All right, well, while we wait for Nash to come back, we can ask him a few questions. I think we'll maybe talk about some of the questions that I think I would have to answer, I guess, because they're questions about the show. So,
right.
So I'll talk for a little bit, and you can definitely jump in at any time that you have any...
Oh, yeah, I'm good color commentary.
Please do, because I don't want to talk to myself this whole time. I really don't want to do that. Looking through all these questions, let's get one from Rob Weeks, super fan Rob Weeks, at Zombie Slag.
Ooh, Zombie Slag.
Good old Zombie Slag. He said, where'd you find inspiration for the Progenix storyline? I guess there's a couple things that kind of were kind of influences for this particular storyline. I created a game for a gaming convention a long time ago, several years back, and the gaming convention, I wanted to do a World of Darkness horror game. And I was like, I wanted to do a game where all the characters were, they thought they were human, but they, basically the premise was they would wake up in a medical facility,
mm-hmm.
and the facility has gone to hell. Like, it's all broken, busted up, they wander around, and they don't remember who they are specifically, and they find that, like, the place has been completely torn apart, and they basically have to escape with their lives.
Was this before or after you started listening to Drunks and Dragons?
This was, I believe, before, because I always thought that was weird that, like, they all woke up on slabs on that show, and I was like, hey,
right.
Wait a minute.
And didn't remember who they were, and
I was like, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. I swear to God I didn't steal that. I'm just going to assume they stole it from me. But, I wrote this game, and as part of it, I had this character. I had a couple characters that are in the show. I had this woman, Miss Hartman, who was in charge of this facility, and they run into her at the end of the game. And turns out she's being controlled by this, like, evil creature that they find little hints about throughout, called Bellatrix. And I took that idea, and the game went over really well, and I submitted it to a gaming contest through Happy Jack's RPG podcast, and I won an award for it. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. There must be something about this or with this. So I took it and ran with it and just decided, let's try this podcast thing. This can't be hard. And I soon realized that it was extremely difficult, but it's really enjoyable. I enjoy doing this. It's a lot of fun. The writing, the producing takes so much time, but it's really rewarding to see how much the podcast has grown and how much we've kind of built a small little, like, kind of little community or fan base. Yeah. So, you know, maybe over time it'll even grow bigger and we'll become Night Vale. But we knock on wood. We can wish, right? So, yeah, that was one of my biggest inspirations. I was a big fan of Stephen King's The Stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are small elements of The Stand in this storyline as well. I tried to kind of pull some of that in to kind of build this story. Some of the basic ideas. I know that Rob Weeks also, I believe he was the one that also commented at one point that the story sounds a lot like, what's that Netflix show, Hemlock Grove? But
I'm not familiar with that at all.
And I'm not familiar with it either. So apparently there's some similarities there as well. But yeah, I'd say that's probably what inspired me to write it. Welcome back, Nash.
Thank you.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine. You're perfectly fine. You missed courtesy. You had to run off. So here we go. Lightning round for you, Nash. I'm going to ask you questions that you missed.
Oh, dear.
And we'll see what you have to say. Question one. If you had a chance to kill off any character from the Progenic story, who would you kill and why?
Sorry, Emily, but...
yeah, present company included.
Yvette's got to go.
Aw, but why? She's so sweet.
Actually a little tangy.
We'll see what happens there. Second question. What scares you? What are some, like, genres of horror that you're interested in?
What scares me? Sorry.
It's a tough question.
It is. I mean, spiders.
I love spiders.
If they're small, I'm fine. If the bigger the spider, the more freaked out I get. But as far as types of subgenres of horror that interest me, I'm also an H.P. Lovecraft fan and Stephen King. I love body horror as a subgenre, as far as bad things happening to people.
Oh, so like Human Centipede.
I was going to go more along the lines of Alien with the chest bursting.
Yeah.
Or The Thing.
Ah, classic.
I'm kind of jumping ahead, but those two are... That's really the kind of stuff that just really, I love it.
Nice. Here's a question that I think we all can answer. What are some podcasts, the question specifically, this is from Stefan, I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's @aboutsko, one of our fans, had asked, what are some podcasts that inspired you, and what are you listening to on a regular basis? So I can talk about first what helped inspired me for this show. There were some shows out there that I really latched onto, that I really loved, that I wanted to kind of emulate a little bit. Obviously the first, and it would be Welcome to Night Vale, mm-hmm. which obviously has garnered ridiculous amounts of, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a great show, great quality. I liked it. It was so, like, you had this, like, set of characters that you kind of got to know and love as you went along. But at the same time, I wanted my show to be not quite, like Night Vale drags on after a while. I love it. Love it to death, but it does tend to drag on. So I wanted, like, shorter spurts. Another show that I listened to that I really liked that inspired me was Sayer. From the Geekly Inc. Network. I think Adam Bash and crew do an amazing job of telling a very intricate story. I kind of maybe borrowed the idea for the distorted voice of the narrator at the beginning of each of my episodes, maybe for a little bit. So that was a big inspiration. And then the other show that really kind of got me started in this this idea of running kind of this horror story thing was We're Alive. I know you're familiar with that one, Nash. You know, if you're not familiar with We're Alive, give that one a listen. Like that show is phenomenal. The storyline was great. The effects were fantastic. It was just it's completely out of this world. It's great. Zombie story. Aside from that, I listen to a lot a wide variety of podcasts these days. A lot of gaming podcasts, Happy Jacks, Drunks and Dragons, Fear the Boot, 2GMs 1 Mike. I'm kind of an anime freak. I just started listening to this is going to probably lose some cred in the horror department, but I listen to one called Sailor Business, a Sailor Moon podcast. Yeah, I know. It's all right. There's another really good one that I've gotten some information for this podcast from called Sawbones, which is a medical show with a doctor and her husband who doesn't know anything about medical anything. They did shows on like polio and shows on vaccines, and I was like, oh, cool, I can learn about this stuff and put it into my show. So, yeah, those are things I'm listening to. What are you listening to these days, Emily?
Well, as a former moon cop, I can't say enough good things about Sayer.
Right.
I love Sayer. I also have been I've been branching out trying to learn new role-playing games, mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons that on the podcast I help run, again, that's She's a Super Geek, sasgeek.com. We do one shots of different role-playing games.
Cool.
So I've been listening to the podcast called One Shot.
Oh, yes. And I've been
run by James D'Amato and Kat Cool. Yes. And I've recently, my co-host Senda talked me into starting to listen to Campaign, which is mm-hmm. the podcast where Kat Cool GMs a Star Wars campaign. And I have just fallen in love with it. There's just great chemistry between the players. And so I'm just, like, I'm going back and I'm re-listening to it. That's how much I really liked it. And I'm not a huge Star Wars person. In fact, like, my Trekker self is a little ashamed of me. But those are the, I listen, right now I'm listening to mostly live play things. So I just downloaded We Are Alive because I've never heard of it, so.
Oh, it's good. You'll get sucked in.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
What about you, Nash? What are you listening to podcast-wise these days?
My podcasting listening, most of my podcast listening is role-playing game-related stuff. I've done We're Alive all the way front to back and love it, and I'm looking forward to whatever they're coming up with for the next incarnation. I am a rabid devourer of the Happy Jacks RPG podcast.
Fantastic.
To include all of the actual plays that they also produce, which I think they're currently doing 3 actual plays for 3 different systems, in addition to their regular weekly RPG discussion podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I do listen to Fear the Boot RPG podcast, and there's a trio of audio short story podcasts. There's Podcastle for fantasy, Escape Pod for sci-fi, and Pseudopod for horror.
Okay, I've heard of Pseudopod.
Those three, when I'm caught up on all of my RPGing, those are my go-to for, and they release just about weekly. There's between the three of them, and they're all produced by the same group, and I'm drawing a blank at the moment as to what that is. But between the three, there's well over 1,000. Audio short stories out there to listen to through those guys, and it's phenomenal.
Nice.
It's great stuff.
Nash, I missed one question when you were gone. Give me a favorite moment or something memorable from any of the episodes from the Progenics Labs storyline so far. Anything that really stood out to you?
Pretty much when I the moment where I really got to reveal just what I am and what I can do. Spoiler! when I took over Cure, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, and that was tough. Unfortunately, Bernadette couldn't be with us tonight. She is fantastic, by the way, as Cure. I've gotten some interesting comments from people, from fans, like that really, really like her accent a lot. We had to really kind of sync up that one time when you were recording that line when you were basically combined with Cure, and we had this kind of like your voice was fading in as hers was fading out. That was really difficult to do because you had to listen to her because she did hers obviously first, and then we had to have you here so you could listen to it, and it was tough, but I think it turned out to be a really cool kind of moment.
Yes.
So let's see, what other? We got a few other questions here we can do, and then we can call it a day. What are the challenges and rewards? This is from Zombie Slag again. What are some of the challenges and rewards of working with multiple voice actors? It's tough sometimes, especially when you know your voice actors are so awesome and are doing this for no pay, and you know give them a script and you don't know if like their week was hell, if they're gonna have time to like get that done. And I'm like sitting here going just kind of cross my fingers going, I really, really hope they get all their audio in. And it's worked out. I mean, it's worked out really well. We've only had one time where we've had an episode somewhat kind of really late because one of our actresses was out of town on vacation for like a long time, and there'll be Viva, who does did a couple different voices. She did the voice of Jeremiah's wife, and then also the receptionist, who was one of my favorite characters from episode 2, just because that accent was so amazing. But yeah, overall, it's been kind of cool. I know that when I started, the initial thought was to try to do Google Hangouts, and so that way people who have the same scene together could like practice and feed off each other. But then I thought to myself, that's going to be so much extra work to like coordinate all that. So we kind of rolled the dice a bit to see, you know, just everyone do their own line, send them in, and then I kind of listen to them, critique them, ask for maybe some redos on them. But I think it's worked out really well, honestly. It really, it's only when the episodes where we have like so many characters where it's like, oh my god, I'm like freaking out because like I don't know if I'm going to get every piece of audio, and I have the whole episode ready to release except for like one person who has like one line or something, and I'm like, oh my god, just send it to me. But aside from that, it's been extremely rewarding, and it's been great to get to know a whole different group of people, and it's been great to see and think about moving forward, you know, I really think they can pull off the voice of this character for what I'm writing right now. I'm really excited to give them this character so to see what they can do. So yeah, I think that that's on my end. What about for you guys as voice actors? What are the challenges of having to read your lines without necessarily hearing the people you're having the conversations with?
I really didn't have too much trouble as far as not having someone to have a conversation with. I don't know if that's just a quirk for me personally. I didn't have any trouble.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. Well, what about you, Emily? Like, was it difficult for you? Do you think to like kind of get the basic idea of how to get the tone across?
There were parts where I wish, you know, when my character's actually in conversation with people, but also no, because my character grandstands a lot, and so then it's perfectly fine to be alone, and probably better so that the entire, you know, cast doesn't have to listen to me grandstand. And then it's pretty obvious to me what emotions Yvette is feeling, and so kind of regardless of how anybody else does a lot of their lines and conversations, she's going to respond based off what she's feeling. She's not going to have any empathy for them, and so just because of the character, it's maybe a little bit easier to be able to portray her without sort of hearing anybody else.
Here's another question from our fan, Bill Little. Have you, and this is for everyone, have you ever been scared by something that you thought was supernatural? That's an interesting one. Have you had a supernatural experience? I can't say I've really had anything too major. However, when I was little, apparently I used to tell stories to my grandmother about how there was an old woman that, like, would hang out in my room at night, and, like, she and I would talk. And apparently she was just really nice, and I didn't think anything of it. Like, I just kind of apparently went up to her one day and said, hey, do you know that woman, that old woman who is, like, you know, hanging out in my room? And she's like, what are you talking about? But I don't really remember much about that. I just remember what I've been told about that. So aside from that, I don't think personally I've had a supernatural experience.
I have to say, by the nature of my work, so I'm in higher education, but I'm a confidential source. And so all I'm going to really say is that there are a lot of students at this particular college who think that the college, at various parts of it, are haunted. Oh. And so I have seen things and heard stories that don't make a lot of sense. And even as a sort of a pretty rational person, it's interesting how those things affect other things. And so my focus is always on the students and how those events help. Have affected them, but yeah, there are some things that I've seen that I'm like, this feels very supernatural, and I apologize for not being able to be specific.
No, that's okay. No, I totally understand. Working in education myself, I know that you can't do that. Nash, what about you? Have you ever had a supernatural experience?
I'm afraid I'm going to be kind of boring about this, because I'm a doubter. I don't believe in the supernatural myself. It's wonderful for storytelling, but I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in the supernatural at all. So, no, I really don't have anything of that nature.
That was a boring answer.
Sorry.
All right.
Just embrace some mystery in your life. No, it's...
Yeah. All right, we're going to do two more questions. Two more, and then we're done. So this is for both of you, because I'm not much of a voice actor myself. If you listen back to episode one, and you hear my really awful, awful, awful voice of the... what was it, the president of Harvard College, you'll know that I am not good at voice acting, which when I get around to redoing Progenics Labs, I think I'm going to have someone else voice that and just completely scrub myself from that completely. But here's a question. What are some tips you might give the people out there who are listening who want to become voice actors themselves, those that want to be involved? What are some steps they can take, or what should they do just to work on their craft?
Most of my... voices come from either playing role-playing games at the table and being a GM, mm-hmm. or from reading bedtime stories to my son. But the more you do it, the better you're going to be at it.
Right.
So that's pretty much what I've got. Keep practicing and get good with certain voices, certain accents. The more you use it, the better you're going to be at it.
Okay.
I wish I had some professional advice for people, but I don't really. I guess just generally, I found that this is true in sort of almost any field. It doesn't hurt to ask. So if you like something like Shadowvane and you want to be a voice actor and want more practice, I would say totally, you know, email Andrew. And you know, he can probably work you. I think that's not a bad idea if you're trying to sort of get that kind of experience. I also do role playing games, and I GM, and I read books. I read them out loud a lot, but I also will sort of binge things on Netflix. And like, I'll get into certain characters and I'll find that, you know, and it doesn't, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, obviously story based, but even sometimes I've been watching The Great British Bake Off. And so like when I was in my kitchen this morning, I'm getting ready this afternoon, I'm going to bake an apple pie. And I found myself sort of talking to myself in one of the voices of one of the people on there. And it was, you know, don't be afraid to talk to yourself funny, I guess.
You know, that's actually really good advice. I mean, I think a lot of people are afraid to try, you know, like they're afraid of looking silly.
Yeah. Well, and record yourself and listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a huge thing. It sucks. I mean, having done it for 3 years, recorded students and sat down with them and each and every one of them individually 3 to 4 times a year.
Right.
It's really awkward to listen to yourself and to be self-critical. Mm-hmm. But it's in the long run, it can be very helpful.
That's good advice. All right, so we're going to end with one more question, which comes from Rob Weeks again. Tell me a little bit about what we can expect next as far as stories. What are they going to be like or about? We're kind of up in the air right now of where we want to go next exactly. I'm currently writing 2 different story arcs, one of which will be much shorter than the other. I can give you a little bit of a hint at a few of those. The one shorter story arc that I'm writing is going to feel very different than the current one, which is set far in the future. The one that I am writing is actually set in the late 1600s.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it'll be kind of a short run, and it will take place in Salem. So that's all I'm going to say. But we're looking at the time of the Salem witch trials, and should be a short, maybe like 4 or 5 episode run. Mm. I'm also working on...
I hope you have a good meaty female part.
Maybe
you would let somebody who's on this call have a crack at.
I'm sure I could work that in. and then the other story that I think will be the next major one, the one that will run kind of a longer length, kind of like Progenics Labs ran, is I'm working on a kind of a post-apocalyptic sort of feel that may have some subtle tie-ins to Progenics Labs. Nothing really concrete, but if you are a fan of Progenics Labs, you might notice a few little kind of callbacks to the show to see what might have happened to the world. So it'll be a story that will kind of start out, there's going to be about 4 or 5 main characters, and each of them will have their own episode, and then we'll slowly kind of meet and combine together to try to figure out and navigate this strange new world.
So it's like Arrested Development.
maybe a little bit darker version of Arrested Development, you know. But yeah, that's an interesting comparison. That's an interesting comparison. And then a friend of mine, Eric, is writing a supernatural story where each of the characters are have a different power or a different supernatural creature. And that is going to be something that, as he writes it, we will sprinkle an episode in here and there. So it'll
amazing.
Be something that will just kind of take place periodically, and we'll get more like short little episodic adventures rather than an overall story arc. So there are things on the horizon for Shadowvane. We've got more classic tales. I'm working on coming up with an idea for, I don't know if anyone's heard of HP Podcraft.
Mm-hmm.
It's the show where they basically dissect every single one of H.P. Lovecraft's works and they talk about it. I'm thinking for the Patreon, I'm gonna go back to every classic tale that we've done, and we're gonna do like a short like half hour mini cast where we just kind of break apart the story and talk about it. And I'll have different people on for each one. So you know, if we go back to like the Edgar Allan Poe, the Raven one, you know, maybe we have Emily on and we can kind of talk about Poe and his inspiration for the story and how she came up with her reading of it. And yeah, I think it'll be kind of fun to do and hopefully drive more people to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/Shadowvane, by the way.
I will say that was actually fairly difficult to do, to try and keep your energy. I like to try and do things like that in one shot. It was really difficult to keep my energy up. It's a very intense little piece.
It is, and it's longer than you think it is.
Yes, it is.
Like you're
every
halfway
time I'm reading it, I'm like, how is it still going?
My favorite part of that, the whole like the idea of you reading it too was, it's just so neat to hear a female narrator. I don't think I've ever heard the Raven recorded with a female narrator before, which I think just gave it a cool vibe. I just really liked it. So, all right. So I think we've got other questions, but I think we're going to stop there. We'll save some of those other questions maybe for another time. Before we go, where can people find you on the internet? Anything again that you want to plug, your Twitter handle, what have you? We'll start with Nash.
I've kind of dropped off the face of Twitter. You can find me hanging out at Happy Jack's RPG Podcasts forum and various other RPG-related stuff.
And your username on there would be?
I am Useless Trivia Man.
Useless Trivia Man, all right.
Give us a piece of Useless Trivia right now.
Oh,
a piece
go, go, go.
Of Useless Trivia right now. All right. A hummingbird has a heartbeat of roughly 1,200 beats per minute.
That is really useless.
But when they sleep, they actually go into a torpor, like almost a coma, and their heartbeat drops down to only about 60 beats per minute.
Interesting.
Wow.
There you go.
All right.
Spot, I'll call you out.
Emily, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me individually on Twitter at TheCraftyDM. You can find my main podcast that I'm on is a actual play role-playing game podcast. She's a Super Geek, sasgeek.com, or on Twitter, sasgeekpodcast. Right. And it's a good old time. We focus on women as DMs, and we have a lot of really fun people come on and play all sorts of fun games. There's a great magical girl arc, if somebody might be interested to that.
Might be interested in that.
Yeah. It's a One Last Job is the system, and it's a magical girl setup. So
I'm not familiar with that system.
Oh, it's such a good and anyway, never mind.
All right. Obviously, you can find me at Lemon Nerd Boy on Twitter. You can find the show at Shadowvane Cast. Check us out online, shadowvane.net. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Shadowvane. I want to thank the fans for sending in their questions. Thanks once again to, and I'll just get the Twitter handles out there, at AboutSKO, at ZombieSlag, and at AzureTalon. For all of your questions. We appreciate that, and you'll probably get a message soon, so we can send you a little something for being nice and sending us some questions. We'll send you a little swag, although I'm sure Zombie Slag already has some stuff, but we'll give him something new. Check us out, and We will be back soon with our final episode once I put the finishing touches on it. I've got to make sure that it's 100% ready to go. We'll get into the voice actors and spoiler, if you haven't listened to the last episode, there are two fewer voice actors we have to worry about now. So go listen if you haven't caught that one. So thank you, Emily. Thank you, Nash. Thank you, Curtis, wherever you are on whatever boat you're on. And thank you, the fans. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.